Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 76. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. Stayed local, just pretty chill. I took the whole week off of work, so I just sat around and played Xbox.
That's nice. Give me the rundown of what you had at the table.
Had the turkey, had the stuffing, had the mashed potatoes, had, some sort of vegetable object that I don't know if I even ate. Because it's all about carbs and turkey on Thanksgiving.
Agreed.
And of course, pumpkin pie.
Of course.
That's pretty much, that sums it up, man.
Sounds good, dude. You know what I had for Thanksgiving?
What's that?
An endoscopy.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes. For the listeners who don't know what that is, that's when they turn you on your side and shove a tube down your throat to see what's going on in your stomach. Dude, I got to tell you, the prep for the endoscopy was probably the worst part because, they got me set up. You know, my appointment's in the afternoon. They were running a little behind. They got the IV going. And then they got me sitting there, you know, once they got the IV in, and I'm sitting there and I'm sitting there. I was sitting there for, you know, felt like forever. And
right.
the worst part, dude, was there's this guy in the stall next to me.
Uh-oh.
I call it stalls because they had you curtained off, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this poor dude didn't speak any English and he was getting the colonoscopy.
Yeah. The other, did you get the 2-for-1, dude?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
No. Although I begged them. I begged them.
Good for you.
But no, I only got the one end, dude. And I got a good report, I'd like to say.
Good.
No pun intended. This poor guy started crying next to me as they started prepping him. He didn't seem quite, and he didn't speak any English. So it was, it kind of sounded probably something like what Semenov was like in Glenn Sather's office when he got sent back
to
I'm sorry.
That's brutal.
But,
not a lot of holiday cheer though.
No, I had plenty of holiday cheer. My wife made her famous chocolate pecan pie.
Ooh.
Delicious.
Nice.
I just finished that today.
Nice.
So, happy post-Thanksgiving to you, dude. And what a great, game tonight, but I know we got a bunch of news.
First of all, we mentioned on the podcast last week, we're doing the radio show, the Chomp Talk radio show, this Sunday night from 8 to 10. We're doing a 2-hour all hockey radio show on 1220 AM. And you can get that on your AM dial, of course, 1220. Or you can actually stream it over the web at KDOW1220.com.
We'll put the for sure link on the website.
We'll of course do that, but we're going to need lots of callers. Of course, we're going to have Mark Smith, ex-Shark, as a live interview.
That's going to be awesome.
We're going to have Mark Purdy, who's a columnist for the San Jose Mercury News, as a live interview.
Another great guest. So, we've had him on the podcast before. Always hilarious and irreverent.
Yes.
He's always got good stories, so I'm always excited to talk to Mark Purdy.
He's a fun guy. And, of course, Mark Smith, so that's going to be really good. We're going to have... This is going to be your first opportunity to win a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt this Sunday night. I think I'm going to do a little mini a trivia contest. We'll see how that goes, but you may have seen us wearing the Dude shirt at the tank. This will be the time for you to win a Dude shirt. So
awesome. I hope we hear from a lot of people. We know we got great listenership on the podcast, so we're hoping a few of you may decide to listen live.
In case you have a pen handy, the number is 1-800-516-1220. That's the call-in number. Of course, we'll be putting that on the blog as well. So definitely tune in. We'll be putting it on the feed. You'll be able to hear it after the fact, just like all our other podcasts. But I definitely encourage you to listen live and call in live and talk to us live, because that's not something we can do here on the podcast, but that's something we can definitely do on the radio show. And that's what that show's all about.
So, sure. Even if you're not local, give us a call. Dude, we got something else to pimp too.
That's it. We got an email from a guy who's running a blog off contest on thenhlarena.com. And there's a Sharks blog off voting situation, which is our blog versus some others. And let me just pull this up and look at the current status.
Right. Some great competition, too. We got Sharks page, all the respect. Fear of the Finn, all the love.
Yes, yes. We got Fools and Sages. We got Pistols Tank Talk, which actually is a blog I've never read before. I thought I knew all the Sharks blogs. There's the Chum Bucket, which I've read before. Ideas from the Tank, I don't know either. But right now, I think we're running... Are we running fourth?
Yikes.
But the thing is that we haven't even put anything on the blog, of course. So
we'll, we're hoping that maybe some listeners might respond. And where can they go to vote, dude?
They can go to vote on thenhlarena.com, thenhlarena.com. And actually, we got SoCal Sharks Girl gave us a great review on in the thread saying, hands down, my favorite Sharks fan blog is Dudes on Hockey. Etc. Etc. I can't read the whole post or else I'd
be, she rocks. She's not even family either.
I'd be blushing.
But she's dude's family, so
yes.
Thanks, SoCal.
Of course, you know, we don't want to disparage any of the other Sharks blogs because it's a community.
They're supposed to vote for their top five, so for sure go out there and vote for the other ones you like, but
that's right.
Show us some love.
That's right.
All right, dude, enough pimping. Yes. Enough big pimping.
Plenty.
Let's get to the matter at hand tonight.
Yes.
Homecoming tonight.
Ottawa.
Ottawa coming to town, Chichu, Mahalik on the ice. How do you think the fans reacted? First of all, what was the outcome, dude?
Well, Sharks win 5-2, empty netter by Manny Malhotra. It was a very good game. I thought the Sharks played well throughout. There was a couple of tough moments there. Thomas Greiss in the nets tonight, so it's a little different. Good to see him getting a regular start. Maybe not quite as much as I'd like, but still... They're still thinking of him, so I thought that
was a great move by the coach tonight because this was an emotional game. You know, no matter how much these guys want to downplay it, you know, emotional game for Danny Heatley, emotional game for the Ottawa Senators, emotional game for the Sharks, playing against two of their friends who've been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're amped up. They wanted to win the game for Heatley, and you know, playing in front of Greiss, I think, makes them focus a little bit more. You can't rely on Nabby as much, so. You know, you're not leaning on Nabby to do all the work. You have to work a little bit harder in front of Greiss, maybe. And even though there were some tough moments tonight, and especially at the beginning of that second period, they were really taking it to us. But the Senators just can't finish, dude.
It seems that's the case. I mean, Mahalik had a couple of goals tonight. So it was sort of an all-Sharks three stars. Mahalik was the third star. Who was the second star? I can't remember.
Second star was Danny Heatley tonight, and then Patrick Marleau with his 900th NHL game.
And two goals.
Two goals tonight. Does that put him on top of the NHL goal scorer, dude?
I think Gabrick may still be ahead, because I think Gabrick had two the other night. So don't quote me on that. But Mahalik had two good-looking goals. Sort of made me wish he'd score like that when he played for us. Chichu had a really good wraparound chance that he couldn't quite tuck in.
Yeah, a good chance, dude, but Chichu, you got to finish that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it's the whole thing. He still looks completely snake bit out there.
Mm-hmm.
He had a few good shifts, I thought, at the beginning. He was playing with some energy, but that chance, that's a goal that he's got to score.
Because there was open net along the ice and on that wraparound. You need to tuck it in along the post that you're going around.
It just seemed like it took him forever to get there.
And he sort of shot it along the goal line, and Greiss didn't cover that post all the way, but he still got his leg on it. And if Cheech got maybe a little bit better angle, he would have definitely put that in, but not this time.
Not ever, it appears.
Only twice so
Dude,
far.
Dude, I feel for him, man. I feel bad for Cheech because he just kind of seems like he's just not the same guy that he used to be. I know we've beaten this to death over the last, you know,
year,
but I was really hoping he'd be able to pull it together when he went to Ottawa. And it just seems like in a checking line role, that's just not his thing anymore, dude.
Yeah, it's tough. You wonder if he might be a candidate for a buyout this offseason or something bad might happen to Cheech. I mean, I don't know if it's really worth spending a lot of time on, but it's possible that his career may be near the end, even though he's not that old of a guy. But well, maybe he can reinvent himself. I don't know, but he's only got 4 points in 20 some odd games.
It seems like he's had the opportunity to reinvent himself, and he's just not suited for that role.
Yeah.
Now, last year we saw him have success when he was on the top line. He was on the top power play unit, and then things just kind of fell off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, dude. I hope the best for him. Mahalik sure seems to have a good impact on that team.
That's right.
But the Ottawa Senators, you know, if they make the playoffs, they'll be one and done.
Yeah.
And maybe that's good enough for their fans and their fan base, but there's still no doubt in my mind, and I think as Mark Purdy wrote about in the San Jose Mercury News this morning, the Sharks got the best end of that deal, and it was on display tonight.
It's funny because there was also a blog entry I read in the Ottawa paper saying, this trade's not over. And, you know, this, you know, the only, he said something really strange. He said, what's really going to determine who wins this trade is how the teams do. And to me, that seems absolutely ludicrous. No, the trade is the trade. The teams are the teams. That's two different things. He says, well, if the Sharks can't win and go deep in the playoffs, then the trade is not a success. And to me, that makes no sense.
Well, I mean, I guess it isn't the end result of your trade to make your team better. I could see where his logic is there. I think where he kind of got lost, he said, well, and don't forget about the second round pick.
Right.
You know, right. He almost kind of glossed over the fact that they got stuck with Chichu.
Right.
Like, he didn't really want to talk about that much. Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, finally, we pried Mahalik out of their hands. Okay, right. Well, that's true. You did get a great asset in Mahalik. Mm-hmm. Legitimate top six forward who's been disappointing. And you know what? I mean, he was kind of floating around. I mean, how many goals did he float around up there? Like
in the low 20s.
Yeah, I know. But he established like this like benchmark for Mahalik scoring 40 something or something.
Yeah.
If he gets to 40 for Ottawa, I will be stunned.
Yes.
There's, you know, he's so streaky. He's going to hit a wall at some point. You know, maybe the high 20s is still, you know, low 30s. Even for that, that's good.
He's
you know?
On pace so. For in the 40s right now.
Sure.
And dude, not too many other people are going to put it in the net for them, unfortunately.
Okay. There's I'm going on record right now. Mm-hmm. None chance he gets 40.
Okay.
Okay?
I heard it here first.
You heard it? Going to do a beer?
Okay, sure.
A beer?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. If he gets to 40, okay. It's a push.
Okay, 40 is a push.
Okay.
Got it.
I like it. I like a good bet.
Who doesn't?
I wasn't that impressed by Ottawa tonight.
No, not really.
What'd you think about the Canada trip, dude?
It was good. I mean, two wins. I wrote about on the blog how I didn't like the Edmonton game at all. Specifically, I thought the Sharks, that was an opportunity for the Sharks to come out and really beat down a team that is struggling. They lost Alex Hemsky, which is one of their best players, and despite all that, despite playing their, you know, facing the backup goalie, Jeff Delorier, the Sharks really didn't win in any sort of convincing fashion. And the thing that really bummed me out was this whole Jean-Francois Jacques situation where he boarded Joe. The next shift, he threw a knee at Heatley, and Heatley sort of jumped over it, but that could have been a dangerous situation. And then shortly after that, he hits Joe again. And the Sharks did not respond at all. And that just really bugged me. Of course, the Sharks did end up scoring soon after that. They did end up... he didn't actually get a penalty for boarding Joe because Ryan Close scored on the delayed call. So you don't even see that on the score sheet. But still, you got to respond to that. You got to respond to that. Whether it's November, whether it's January, whether it's the playoffs. Someone hits your best player in the back and you do nothing. Ugh, that doesn't sit right with me.
See, I think I agree that they had to respond, but I think they did respond. They won the game, and I think that was their goal at the moment. You know, they were trailing, and a player like Jacques, what he wants you to do is you know, he takes the penalty. He wants someone to take a run at him, mm-hmm. so that, you know, he wants Scott Nickel to come in there and drop the gloves and get 4 minutes, or maybe get a game misconduct and get run. And then he did his job. I mean, that's all a guy like that is in there to try and do, is stir the pot and cause a mess, you know, with some dirty play. And I think the Sharks, for the moment, you know, they were focused on trying to get the 2 points. They did. I'll be disappointed when Ottawa comes to town. I think it's January.
Edmonton.
I'm sorry. Edmonton yep. comes to town. January 2nd, I think the game is, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and nothing happens.
Right.
I fully expect that, you know, I think Jacques is going to get a face full of Swedish meatball, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Pretty early on. I think they'll have a long memory for that. I think there's a time and a place for it. It's going to happen, but that just, you know, I'd rather see them get the win instead of trying to tone for someone taking a run at Joe right off the bat when they're trailing.
See, I think there's a middle ground there. I mean, you can go after him without taking a dumb penalty. I mean, Scott Nickel, Ryan Clough, these guys aren't stupid players. I mean, they know how to engage a guy like that, let him know, send the message, without just, like, cross-checking him in the face, like, you know, like some... Like
hitting him in the head like Keith Ballard?
Yeah, exactly. Swinging your stick and hitting somebody in the head. You know, I mean, something that, you know, Colt Knorr did, or, you know, some stupid stuff that some of those guys have done in the past. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do that. But you got to send... I still think you got to send the message. Maybe you don't jump all over him and climb him like a tree and punch him from behind. But you got to do something.
This is really the first time this has come up this year.
Yeah.
Right? I think every other game, you know, the Sharks have answered the physical challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, most notably recently against Philadelphia. The Sharks are, I think, second or third in the NHL in fighting majors.
I think you're right.
So, you know, it's not like this is not a physical team. I think it was a conscious decision by the coaching staff telling them, don't, mm-hmm. you know, stay out of it. Let's get the win.
Right.
And, you know, 2 points is 2 points, and it could be the difference, you know, at the end, you know, with us getting a better playoff draw or getting totally hosed. But I'll be disappointed January 2nd if nothing happens.
Well, certainly that's the big upside, right? Because normally a January 2nd matchup against a decimated Edmonton Oilers team may not exactly be at the top of your list of games to watch. But now there's going to be a little extra sauce to that one. So that's certainly going to be a game I'm going to watch with interest now, because there's this subtext, this drama, unfinished business, if you will, against Jacques. And I hope someone picks up the gauntlet, because it was definitely thrown in that game, and I think the Sharks do need to answer. That's absolutely the case.
Consider it answered, dude.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen.
I hope
Can't wait to review it after the game, dude.
And Vancouver was the other Canadian road trip game. We got to see another ex-Shark in uniform, that being, of course, Christian Ehrhoff, now playing defense for the Vancouver Canucks, playing quite well for them, actually. On their first power play unit, he's racked up a fair number of points for them this year, and the Sharks again came up with a win. So really a very successful trip, I'd say, for the Sharks.
Probably one of their more impressive games of the year, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, I'd say so, especially the way that they sort of pulled away at the end. You know, Vancouver stays close. They got some weapons. Roberto Luongo can always pull a big save and maybe change some momentum. And the fact that they managed to score a couple goals late means that they were in the game to win it the whole way through, and that's a good thing, right? You know, that's the cliche, 60 minutes, play the whole 60 minutes. Well, the Sharks played the whole 60 minutes against Vancouver and got a nice win out of it.
The thing I liked is the lines that scored the goals at the end of the game. You've got Jamie McGinn, mm-hmm. you know, who got another goal tonight, a great goal.
Yeah.
Boy, he's making it hard on them to send him down.
Yeah.
It just seems almost impossible. You know, how are you going to send this kid down? And then Manny Malhotra got a goal in the Vancouver game. You know, he's on a bit of a hot streak now, although he did score tonight with no goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll take it how we can get it. So I like that. The team seems really deep. You know, all four forward lines are chipping in now. So this kind of segues into, you know, another topic that I have for you, dude, is, you know, are the Sharks so deep up front? You know, what's going to happen when Jody Shelley comes back into this mix here? Mm-hmm. Is he just naturally take Fraser McLaren's spot?
No. Naturally? I don't know. You know, it's still an enigma to me with Jody Shelley, because he doesn't seem to be super effective on the ice, but clearly they put him in the lineup whenever they get the chance. And that's something that's a little strange. I like the way Fraser McLaren's been playing. He had another great scoring chance tonight. He scored in the last game, his first goal of his career. So I really, and answered the bell and fought Matt Karkner, which you totally called. It was so funny. The Sharks score the second goal pretty early in the game, and Doug turns to me and says, "Here comes the fight." Sure enough, you see Matt Karkner on one side of the ice, and then the fourth line with McLaren drop the gloves. It's like you could set your watch to it. It was pretty funny.
It's pretty predictable.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a tough call. And here's another thing, dude. Right now, you know, got the fourth line is Mitchell, Seto, and McLaren.
Yeah.
How much longer is that going to roll?
Not much. I mean, Seto? I don't know. Seto, they've been sort of protecting a little bit. But, you know, he had at least one or two good chances tonight. So I think Seto may be moving up soon enough. I mean, Malhotra is the obvious candidate to move down. Seto may go back up to the first line, or you could see him on the second line.
So if you move Malhotra down to the third and you move Nickel down to the fourth,
mm-hmm.
so now you've got a fourth line of Mitchell, Nickel, and McLaren or Shelley,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got, what I'm saying is the Sharks are so deep up front. And I know, I feel like I bring this up every week, and if I do, it's only because I'm right. Dude, my question to you is this. Can the Sharks really win the Stanley Cup with Vlasic and Blake as the second pairing?
Yeah, that's a question that we got to sort of ask everybody we meet, because I don't know the answer. And adding to the mix, Jason Demers gets sent down, right? So that's another news item. So Jason Demers is no longer with the club. So now it's Derek Jocelyn.
That was a shocker for me at the time. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised.
The justification was that over the past, you know, the coach said over the past 10 days or so, Jocelyn's played more solid than Demers. Demers made a couple of bonehead errors. He also, maybe in the hockey world, didn't quite fall on his sword as much as they would have wanted when he fell down on the breakaway. I think he sort of laughed it off, made a joke, something like, oh, well, sniper got me. You know, sniper in the stands got me when he fell at center ice. And the Blackhawks score on the on that. I think that was the Patrick Sharp goal. And, you know, he maybe they wanted him to say more like, man, I really screwed that up. I really shouldn't have made that mistake. And he sort of laughed it off. I don't know. I'm sure that's not the reason why they sent him down, but it probably didn't help his case.
Well, I guess I admire that they're, you know, the people who are playing the best hockey should be the ones on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jocelyn's out playing him right now, then Demers should go down and be playing top minutes in Worcester. But now we had something else today that happened that kind of really threw a wrench into the whole works, dude.
Yeah, obviously we were at the game, so we didn't hear the telecast. I don't know if they talked about it or how much, but the Sharks claimed a guy off of waivers today. His name is Jay Leach. Claimed him from the Montreal Canadiens, who also claimed Jay Leach off of waivers from the New Jersey Devils. This guy's either 29 or 30 years old, sort of a career AHL minor league guy. You look at his resume, and he's got a million different teams since he first played pro hockey in 2001. You know, Providence Bruins, Trenton Titans, Bridgeport Sound Tigers. You know, he looks like he was in the Bruins organization for a while. Then was in the Tampa Bay Lightning organization, played for their minor league club, the Norfolk Admirals. And then he was on the Lowell Devils, which is the New Jersey Devils minor league team. And then the Canadians picked him up, and now the Sharks picked him up. So this is a strange thing. This guy's a defenseman. He's 6 feet.
He's 6'4".
6'4", 215. Big guy.
Yeah.
Big guy. Born September 2, 1979. So that means he's 30 years old.
But the interesting thing here, dude, is when the Sharks claim him on waivers, that doesn't mean that they can send him outright to the AHL. He has to stay on the big club, or they have to put him through waivers themselves.
That's exactly right. So the rule is you claim somebody off of waivers, you have to put that person on the active roster. And that's the actual term, the active roster, which means the team that suits up for games or, you know, healthy scratch. I guess they're going to healthy scratch him. But this means they have seven defensemen currently on the active roster if you count Jocelyn. So, you know, the first reaction that we had to this move is, okay, so are we going to see Jay Leach in a uniform and Derek Jocelyn back down to Worcester? Because the Sharks haven't been holding on to 7D at all this year. So that's the question. So this is weird, because you're right. If they want to send him to Worcester, they have to put him on waivers again, which means another team could pick him up.
Sure.
The Canadians could take him again.
So I think that my initial reaction was that, okay, Jocelyn's going down and they're going to roll the dice with Jay Leach. We've looked. We can't find any connection between anyone on the Sharks coaching staff and Jay Leach.
Yeah.
We actually have a connection with Jay Leach, dude. The dudes on hockey.
Dudes.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Jay Leach played for the New Jersey Devils.
Mm-hmm.
And played in the game that we saw.
Really?
When we went to New Jersey last year and saw them live. He played 14 minutes in that game. So
good connection.
We actually have seen Jay Leach play.
Of course, if he walked in here with a shirt that says, my name is Jay Leach, I wouldn't know who he was.
No.
So,
I mean, the most interesting thing is I kind of was looking at his stats here so far. I mean, the last game he played was the overtime game against Washington on earlier this week. And Jay Leach played 1 minute and 11 seconds in that game. So that's not really great information there. Not good stats if that's all he was able to muster. He was averaging about 13, 14 minutes a game, it looks like, for Montreal. Mm-hmm. So he was definitely their number six guy. My guess here, dude, is that I'm just going to take a wild stab here. I think that they are going to send him down to Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put him through waivers again, because if the Sharks got him, that means that nobody else claimed him.
That's right, because the waiver rules are based on the standings, who gets waiver priority, and since the Sharks are tops in the NHL, that means they have the worst waiver priority, which necessarily means every other team in the league passed.
Right.
So I guess they could say, well, if we could claim him, that means nobody else wants him, which means we could waive him again and nobody else would claim him, since obviously Montreal didn't want him either.
Right. So you put him through waivers again, you send him down. But then the trick is, if you want him back, you got to waive him again.
That's right.
So if he's tearing it up in Worcester, it's just kind of an odd situation. We've got, seems like, a lot of depth, some interesting players down there, you know, in the AHL level, you know. Could this be a sign that there's a trade coming?
I know that's what you want to think, especially since we were just talking about all of our offensive depth, right? And how we might, we could use a number two defenseman, and you proposed a Dion Phaneuf trade last week, and la la la. Is that what you're hoping for?
Well,
here?
Dude, this is what I want to run by you. Okay, here are some other playoff teams, teams that are legitimate Western Conference title potential teams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Listen to their top four.
Okay,
Chicago Blackhawks. We just saw them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keith,
Seabrook, Barker, Campbell. Better than what we got.
Yes.
Better than what we got.
No question.
Okay, Detroit. Cronwall, Stewart, Lidstrom, Rafalski.
Yes, definitely better.
Better than what we got.
Yes.
Okay. Calgary. Yeah. Bouwmeester, Regier, Phaneuf, Saric.
Yeah, there's no question.
Better than what we got.
Yes.
Okay. How about this? Doherty, Jack Johnson, Rob Scuderi, Sean O'Donnell. Who would you take?
It's close,
but would you take theirs or ours?
I would take ours because Boyle is so much better than their best player right now. Who's their obvious quarterback right now? Doughty?
Yeah. I said Doherty. Oops. Yeah, Drew Doughty.
Yeah, Doughty is a great player. I don't know if he's a natural power play quarterback. Good player.
Ooh,
great player.
Dude, you
right
sure
now,
about that?
You think he's a natural power play quarterback right now?
Well,
I'll definitely take Boyle every day of the week.
Absolutely.
And twice on Sundays.
Okay, I would take Dan Boyle over, you know, Drew Doughty for sure, but I'm going to take a quick look at his numbers here, dude.
Yep.
I mean, he's having a monster year. Drew Doughty right now has 20 points, dude.
Oh, really? Oh, whoops.
6 goals, 14 assists, plus 4, and he's got 11 power play points. This guy is killing it right now. So, I mean, he's ripping it up. So,
all right, so
I think it's pretty close.
It's close.
And if you look at, like, top three, you know,
mm-hmm.
Okay, Murray and Boyle, and who's our third? Vlasic?
Or Blake, right?
So would you rather have those three, or would you rather have Suter, Weber, and Ham Hughes?
Yeah.
Do you see where my point is, dude?
I'm beginning to see it.
I'm not feeling super comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and I can't see how, you know, the Sharks would feel super comfortable with it either. Now, I know it's real easy to sit out here right now, mm-hmm. with the Sharks being the best team in the Western Conference, the best team in the entire NHL, ripping it up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes down to it, these are the teams we've got to go through at the end. And I don't know, unless we add another blue liner, if we're going to make it, dude.
I know. And look at the, even look at the East. Pronger, Tiemannin, Coburn, right?
Right.
Yeah. And Carl is their fourth.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would probably take that foursome over ours. How about Gonchar, Goligoski, Letang, and who's their fourth right now? McKee. In Pittsburgh? Ugh, that's close too, right? Who else is tops? I can't even name Buffalo right now.
Oh, Buffalo's is not worth naming.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is well taken. So is this something that we could see the Sharks look for and use some of this depth?
I think they've got to. I think what they've proven early in the year is they've got a ton of depth.
Mm-hmm.
McGinn, I think, is good enough that he could play a top six forward spot.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Is he that different than Matt Molson? Matt Molson is playing with John Tavares right now on the top line on the Islanders. Is Jamie McGinn appreciably worse than Matt Molson? I don't think so.
No, I think if he was in this situation, he would have the same production that Matt Molson has.
I believe so too. I mean, he didn't exactly blow my socks off when he was playing for the Kings.
Right.
I mean, it was like, okay, Matt Molson, great.
Right. Delicious beer.
Right. Exactly. On the Kings, I probably would have taken Wayne Simmonds over him.
Sure.
So, and now he's lighting it up playing with probably the
Well, we can see that, you know, Joe Thornton can make almost anybody look good. Lucas Kaspar scored last year.
Exactly right.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, dude, but I just look at this Jay Leach trade. I wonder where this is going. You know, mm-hmm. the Sharks are building up depth on the AHL level. Does that mean that maybe they're going to have to part with, you know, forward, a young defenseman to bring in? Now, we're not talking a lateral move here. We're not talking like bringing in Adrian Acoin. This is not going to, that's not going right. to solve anything.
Yeah.
This is a whole, another home run. We need another home run out of Doug Wilson. Does he have one more big trade in him, dude?
I don't know. That's the question. That's the question.
I will wait with bated breath.
Yes, yes. So we, that's a, it's a good topic for speculation this week, this Sunday on the radio show, and for all subsequent weeks, because you know we love ourselves a good crazy trade. And I don't have the music right now.
Dude, some interesting games coming up this week. We got St. Louis on Thursday night and Calgary
Saturday night. Calgary's the big one because Calgary is the leader of their division right now. We thought their problem was going to be scoring goals because...
That's certainly been wrong on that front.
Yeah, and they're scoring goals at a healthy pace. What, they scored five tonight or was it last night? So Calgary's not having any trouble scoring goals. And as we mentioned earlier, they have a pretty amazing defensive core as well. So that's going to be a very tough matchup again against another ex-Shark, Mika Kiprusoff.
Sure. Calgary is the best road team in the entire NHL, dude.
Wow.
They are 10-1-3.
That's amazing.
And they're 6-2-2 in their last 10. So, you know, this is going to be, whenever we play Calgary, it's always a great game.
Yes.
It's going to be a grudge match for sure. I'm very curious to see what they look like in person. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good test for the Sharks. It's no doubt going to be a physical game, too.
It's going to be fun to see Bomeister. He's a guy that we didn't see too much because he played on Florida. The Sharks didn't play Florida all that much. And now we're going to see Jay Bomeister four times this year and see if Chicago got their money's worth with this guy.
St. Louis is an interesting team, dude, that seems to kind of be waking up a little bit. They're finally back to 500. They're a way better road team than they are a home team. They're 5-2-3 on the road and 5-8-2 at home.
Weird.
So, you know, this team, they're finally getting production out of guys like David Backes.
Yeah.
Who had, you know, totally the lights were off and no one was home when the season started. I know because I had him on both my fantasy teams.
I traded him on one of mine.
I only had him on one. That's right. But then I dropped him and then I recently picked him back up because he's been playing so well. They've hit the skids a little bit recently. You know, they lost in Detroit 4-3 in overtime and then they lost on Monday night in Columbus 5-2. So, you know, they are probably on their way in town or they're in town already. So that'll be an interesting matchup. You know, St. Louis last year, they gave us fits.
Yeah.
They really, really were a thorn.
Speaking of Detroit, dude, we're running out of time, but I want to say one thing. Detroit right now is out of the playoffs. And since we got the worst possible eighth seed matchup, can you imagine if we had to play Detroit in the first round of the playoffs as the eighth seed right now? I mean, is that just like the worst draw in the history of mankind?
Hide all sharp objects,
dude. Oh, my God.
Listen, I am going on record on this one, too.
Oh, God.
I fully expect the Sharks are going to get a total crap draw.
Again.
This is what's going to happen, dude. Mm-hmm. All right? And we can replay this at the end of the year.
Okay.
The Sharks are going to be the one seed. And they're going to catch a red-hot team. Someone like... I think Detroit will be comfortably in by that point.
I hope so.
But they're going to have to do battle with like somebody like Vancouver.
Right.
Okay? Or they're going to draw a team like LA that maybe slumped a little bit and then got hot and got in there at the end. And LA would be a horrible first-round matchup.
Not as bad as Detroit.
No, but I don't want to see LA... They're way too dangerous.
What would you rather take, L.A. or Dallas?
Oh, I'd rather see Dallas.
Really? Okay.
Every day. Yeah. I just think that they play the same style we do, but not as well.
And then the 7 seed is going to be like Phoenix, right. And they're going to lose.
And that's what's going to happen. Straight. So Phoenix will get Chicago, and Chicago will laugh their way into the 2nd.
And they'll win every game 5-0.
Right.
It'll be like that series against Detroit the Sharks played in the 90s where they won by the tennis score. Yeah. It was like 6-2, 6-2, 6-0.
You know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, just why are we even concerned?
Okay.
It's a given.
I'm stopping now. This podcast.
Okay.
That's the end of this podcast.
Don't forget the radio show.
The radio show. Listen, Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. On KDOW 1220 a.m. So check us out. Friend us on Facebook. You can get that link on dudesonhockey.com. And as always, send us emails and all this kind of stuff. And we'll be back again next week, same time, same place, after, of course, the radio show.
Right. Hold on. I got to get in the car with Tiger Woods.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.